Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Flyers with game one of the playoffs tonight versus the Canadiens. One of three games, by the way, in Philadelphia sports today. So we got the Sixers, the Phils, and the Flyers. And I guess there will be, I believe, a point at a certain point tonight when all three will be in action at the same time. Quite a trifecta. Our Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Open for gaming, live racing, wagering, and golf. You can visit DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, how does the Flyers Canadian series end in your opinion? A, Flyers win in either four or five games. B, the Flyers win in six. C, the Flyers win in seven. D, hell freezes over and the Montreal Canadiens win the series. Nah, that's not going to happen. All right, let's go out on the sports cult and get, well, you know what? Hockey's, a lot of weird stuff's happening in hockey. You never know, but I do feel pretty confident. Let's go out on the sports cult and guest line. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Swartz Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. So much sports to talk to him about. I would say to Mr. Ray Dininger, Ray, this isn't like the shutdown time when there was no sports. There's a lot of action right now.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You're right. And it's people are talking hockey, which is, well, I mean, it's nice in this town, but it's particularly, it's very refreshing to be able to talk hockey in August.
Well, let's start right there, Ray, because I had brought up right before we went to the last commercial break, the shift that happened, what a big deal the Flyers were, certainly before I was born and in my early years, into my early adulthood, and so much lesser so, and I think, in the consciousness of what I'll call the average Philadelphia sports fan over the last 15 to 20 years. Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. I definitely agree. I've been, you know, I'm born and raised in this town, so I've been around it, and I was here when the Flyers were created in 67, 68, and I saw what it was like then. And literally, the people in the city didn't know the first thing about the sport. I didn't understand it, didn't know the teams, didn't know the players. It took a while, you know. But, you know, when the Flyers finally won the back-to-back cups and they were the only decent team in town, then all of a sudden everybody started talking about it. And it was, for somebody who really liked hockey and really got on board right away, that was a very exciting thing. And the Flyers remained a good team and a relevant team for decades. And that changed over the last few years. I mean, they became almost an irrelevancy in the NHL and certainly in this city. But that's changed. That's changed now. And it's changed in a big way. And right now, I mean, it's not a stretch to say that they got a real shot to win this thing. I really believe that.
Second in the NHL for odds to win the Cup entering the 16, you know, team playoffs. It is awesome. Ray Dininger with us again, Sports Carlton guest line. All right, Ray, the Phillies game last night. This is one of those days where I wake up and I shake my head when people blame Klintak or Middleton. I mean, at what point is it just about professional baseball players who are capable of doing the job, actually just doing the job the right way? What did you see last night? What do you make of it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I've been critical of Klintak too, and there's reason to be, but I mean, if you can't catch a pop fly in the infield in the ninth inning, then that's not on the general manager. That's on you. There's just a lack of execution. You know, the bullpen that we thought was going to be a problem has actually proven to be worse. It's a nightmare. And the offense, I mean, look, last night they scored a ton of runs, but it's been so spotty. I mean, they've lost games this year when the offense let them down, you know, when they just were leaving too many men on base, games that they could have broken open early, they let get away. And in a 60-game season, you just can't afford to do that. So, Yeah, I mean, it's I expected them to be better at this point. I mean, they've gotten, you know, Nola pitched great the other night. Wheeler has been very good. You're encouraged by what you've seen from Arrieta. You're hoping that Howard comes around. I don't know. He's a rookie. I don't want to ask too much of him. But the starting pitching has been okay. But the bullpen has just been, it's the worst bullpen. And I've seen some bad Phillies bullpens, but I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's just, it's beyond atrocious.
Well, what do you think you'd do about the bullpen, Ray? Like, I know you can't keep throwing the same guys out there time after time. Do you make a trade? Do you just keep trying to bring different guys up from Lehigh Valley and find the right kind of mix? What do you think they should try to do there?
Yeah, Tom, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you have any better answers in Lehigh Valley. I don't know if there's anybody better there. I mean, I look at what they've got in the bullpen, and the first thing you want to say is, well, look, you know, it hasn't been that many games yet. Maybe they'll work it out. You know, maybe, you know, they'll finally, you know, guys will finally hit a stride. But I just don't think they're that good. I mean, I thought that coming in. And I just don't know that this group of guys is going to get better. I mean, we've seen Morgan be better than what he's been. He might be the one guy that you can expect something better from. But the rest of them, no, I think this is what they are. As far as making a trade, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to be able to trade, what you've got to trade. You don't want to trade your good players for a middling reliever. And I don't know that anybody else is going to help you that much. You know, they're in a bad spot, and this is where I do kind of find the front office at fault, because we talked about this as far back as, you know, I mean, they were still in Clearwater, and we were talking about that, you know, looking at the bullpen and saying this could be a real problem, and it's proven to be worse than that. I mean, every night it's a five alarm fire, and you just, you know, whether it's a 162 game season or a 60 game season, you just can't live that way.
Well, what would you do with a guy like Kingery right now, Ray, who you see go to the plate, and every time he just looks lost, had a big at-bat in the 10th last night when, you know, they were still in the game, still could have tied it and extended that game. Do you sit him down for a little bit and put Gosselin in there, just give him a day off? What would you do if you were Joe Girardi in regards to Kingery right now?
Yeah, Glenn and I were talking about that over the weekend. What's your biggest concern on the team right now? Because you had several guys that weren't hitting. I mean, Cutchin wasn't hitting. Kingery wasn't hitting. I said at that time I was more concerned about Hoskins, because he looked. I mean, he's such a key piece. You know, I mean, he should be your cleanup hitter. He's been your cleanup hitter. That's what you want him to be. But we've seen him now, and it's not just a matter of a slow start. I mean, the second half of last year he was awful, and it's been a continuation of the same. If you had to ask me the number one concern, I would say it was Hoskins. But it's not to say I'm not concerned about Kingery, too, because you're right. I mean, he does look lost up there. I mean, it is that he's definitely looks like a guy who goes to the plate with no confidence. And I know he's better than that. I mean, I know he's a better hitter than that. We've seen him be a better hitter than that. He's just in a bad place right now. The idea of maybe giving him a day off, especially with Gosselin having been a guy that has come up and given you some good performance in some spot roles, you know, maybe give him a day off, let Gosselin come in and play a little bit. You know, maybe move Segura over to second base and give Bohm a chance to play. I mean, it's not a bad idea to maybe give him a day off, let him sit back and catch his breath a little bit. But I think at some point you got to get him right back in there, because he is a young player. You don't want to lose him for what remains of the season. And I do believe that given an opportunity, he will hit his way out of this, because I know he's got the talent. But I think right now, maybe just an opportunity to sit back and just watch a game or two from the dugout might not be the worst thing.
Ray Dittinger with us, Joe DeCamera, Tom Kelly, hopping sport to sport to sport, which is fun and exciting. Ray, let's get to the birds. Good news, Doug Peterson has cleared the testing protocol, cleared and back with the birds. He's got a second year back in Miles Sanders, who some think will be a star this year. Do you see that leap ability for him in year two? Star, little south of a star, but near it. What do you project for Miles Sanders year two?
Oh, I think he's going to have a big year. I do. I guess it depends on what you consider a star, or what you consider a star, a superstar.
Yeah. I mean, and how often they use him, Ray, which, you know, we've had this kind of debate before. have they not leaned on one back because they haven't had one? Clearly, they haven't had the one guy.
Right.
Or is it that Doug and Howie, sort of from an analytical standpoint, say, well, we're trying to play into February, and that requires 19 games, and so we don't want to run this guy into the ground, you know, whoever guy from the past. You know, I mean, do you think that they will lean on him a lot more, or is it going to be only a slight uptick from, you know, the way the Eagles have given their lead back the ball before?
No, I think there's, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to carry the ball a lot. I do. Because, you know, one thing you have to keep in mind now is at Penn State, you know, he came out of Penn State he was still a very fresh back when he came out of Penn State. I mean, he really only played a lot his last year. I mean, Barkley was carrying the load before that. He became the guy his last year, but that's really all it was. I mean, compared to some other backs that come out of college that have an enormous amount of carries and a lot of wear and tear on their bodies, he came out of college as a real fresh player. And so that was one of the things about him that really appealed to me, was that he was not a guy that had been to some degree used up in college. He was healthy and he was ready to go. And he demonstrated that last year. And I think, you know, when Deuce Staley had his media availability a week ago, a lot of the questions revolved around Miles Sanders. And Deuce was the first one to say, no, there's no limitations on this guy. You know, we think he's a really good player. He's going to be a key of our offense, and we're going to use him a lot. So I do think that's the plan. I think Doug is, if all things are equal, I think Doug is a situational kind of coach. I mean, use the guy, try and match the guy with the right situation. And there are some situations where probably Boston Scott would be a good fit. You know, there probably are some situations, some sets, some formations against certain defenses where you maybe want the smaller, speedier guy out there for matchup purposes. But game in and game out, most of the time, you want to go with your best guy. And Miles Sanders is your best guy. And I think the one thing we saw last year, what he accomplished as a running back didn't surprise me, because I saw him play at Penn State and I knew he was really good. In fact, it would not have shocked me if he'd slipped into the bottom of the first round. I thought he was that good a player. But okay, the Eagles get lucky. They get him in the second round. But I knew he'd be a good running back. What I didn't know was how good a receiver he would become, how quickly he'd be able to contribute in that part of the game. And he picked that up real fast. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's poised right now to be kind of a breakout kind of player this year. So, you know, even though Doug and Howie, I think, are kind of backed by committee guys by nature, if they have the right guy and they have a guy that they feel can be the guy, they'll go with him. And I think they feel like Miles Sanders might be that guy.
Ray, as far as something on the defensive side, I know you and Glenn talked about it a little bit over the weekend, but my reaction when the Eagles signed Vinnie Curry was that, you know, now Clowney definitely won't be here. A lot more pressure on Derek Barnett to break out this year going into year four. How confident are you that Barnett can kind of develop into that player that we all foresaw and hoped he would be when the Eagles drafted him a few years ago?
Hopeful. You know, I am. You know, I'm a Barnett guy. I liked him in Tennessee, and I was real happy when the Eagles drafted him. And I've kind of stuck with him here. I've been disappointed in what his performance has been. I feel pretty confident he's better than what he's been. Injuries have hurt him a little bit. He's had some good moments, but he hasn't elevated his game to the point where I thought it would be at this point. His size is more of a problem than I thought it was going to be. He looks in college, he was big enough to get to the quarterback to deal with the offensive lineman he was dealing with. But here, I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's most weeks when offensive tackles he's going up against, he's probably giving away 40, 50 pounds. And I thought that he had enough bend, and I thought he had enough quickness off the ball that he'd be able to deal with that. And it's proven to be a little bit more of a problem. There are some games and there's some weeks where he just gets handled. He just gets tossed around. And I've heard some talk about the fact that he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger this year. I don't think that's ever going to be the strength of his game. I don't think he's ever going to be a power-rushing defensive end in the mold of God forbid, I should say Reggie White, but I mean, that's not a – there was only one of him. But I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to play with a lot of power, but he needs to get stronger and maintain his quickness. And I'm hoping that if he can stay healthy this year and be truly healthy, not playing through some minor hurts and things that are nagging at him, that that he can get to that point where, you know, I could see him being a double-digit sack guy. I really could. I think he has that. I think he has that kind of ability. But, you know, this time last year, you know, everybody in August, they always talk about who's going to be the breakout players. You know, which guys on the team do you need to really take the big step up? You know, all those cliches. And, you know, Derek Barnett was one of the guys that we were talking about last year.
Yeah.
And to be frank, there was a little bit of improvement, but you wouldn't have called it a breakout. I'm hoping that you get it this year because, frankly, you need that. You know, you don't have a whole lot of depth at the defense, at the edge rushing. I mean, I think you're right. Clowney's not coming now. It's going to be Graham. It's going to be Graham. It's going to be Barnett. And then it's going to be Vinny and maybe Sweat behind him. I think they'll be better inside. And I think Hargrave and Jackson playing with Cox will get you better push up the middle, which will help the rush off the edge. But it's on those guys to play better, and it's certainly on Barnett to play better. I'm hopeful that this might be the year that he starts to play like a first-round draft pick.
And, Ray, we'll round it out here on the 76ers as we go around the globe of Philly sports. About once a year, you knew Stan Hockman exceptionally well.
Sure.
And about once a year, I ask you a question. What would Stan say about something in Philly sports? And I'm curious, a team like the Sixers that tanked that blatantly and upon trying to win – probably a team that's going to lose in the first round of the playoffs with one star that gets hurt all the time, the other star that's now starting to get hurt a lot. They don't even know what position he is. They got two other guys making over $100 million that just aren't that good. What would Stan Hockman, in your opinion, say about the process?
you know what Stan would say.
Feel free to give an impersonation if you want, Ray.
Stan would say, "It's a disaster." And, you know, Stan was Stan loved all sports. He really did. And baseball was clearly his favorite. But hoops was right there. I mean, Stan really did like pro basketball, and he knew pro basketball. He would have – I would love to see Stan in a post-game press conference with Brett Brown. You know, when Brett would start doing the Pollyanna thing. About how everything's fine and, you know, we're playing good and I'm proud of these guys. You know, we lost, but we really gave great effort. I could just imagine Stan, you know, because I've seen him do this, you know. Do you really mean to stand there and try and tell us that?
Well done, Ray. Well
I mean,
done.
That would be his response, and it's the appropriate response. I agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, the only question that comes away from this, Joe, is do the injuries that have beset this team, and if they get bounced here real quick, which I think is probably going to happen, does that become the fallback for Brett Brown when people say, well, you know, his team all got hurt in the playoffs, let's give him another year? Or do they make the other decision, which is decide we need to make a change?
Right. I don't think it'll save him. I really don't. Ray,
because you had all the ample evidence before the shutdown ever came that this team was underachieving. But,
yes.
I mean, that's, with the injuries now, you wonder if that provides them a little cover.
You even had evidence after they came back and started playing for a game or two before Ben Simmons got hurt, that it again just didn't look right. And
oh yeah, the Indiana game was awful.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Ray, stay safe. We look forward, Ray, when we talk to you next week, the Eagles will actually be like an in practice.
I know. And hopefully we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, pretty cool. Ray, stay safe and stay well and enjoy the Flyers playoff run. We'll be talking about it, we think, over 2 months, we hope.
All right. I certainly hope so.
All right, there he is.
Take care, guys.
Thank
See you, Ray.
Mr. Ray Dittinger with us on the Swartz Culleton guest line. Yeah, he's always great for a Stan impersonation. I think Stan Hockman on Ben Simmons non-shooting would be out of his mind. I mean, I have wondered so many times, and I've also wondered how Phil Jasner, who was so great covering the 76ers, how he would have handled the Ben Simmons thing here in Philadelphia. Would have been fascinating.
It would have been.
It really would have been fascinating.
Ray does some great impressions, by the way.
He does what else?
He does a very good jolly as well.
Really?
Yeah. You got to have him try it next time.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. I like that. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Oh, by the way, Doug Peterson spoke to the media a short time ago. Elliot Shore Parks will join us at 1:30. One of those Zoom kind of call deals where you get Doug's perspective on, you know, X, Y, and Z, or in this case, COVID-19, with Doug having now come out of, if you missed the news, Doug is out of COVID-19 and cleared and back with the Birds. And we'll get Elliot's perspective on what, you know, Doug had to say. We'll talk to Elliot coming up at 1:30. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Talk to Malik right now in Mount Airy. Hey, Malik.
Okay, you said it's not on Klintak what the Phillies are doing at this point. So who is the engineer of the team then? Who put this team together?
Well, Klintak put it together. But what I'm saying is there are players that you feel you should count on and can count on that aren't doing
and
their job.
You said Segura, what has he done but make bonehead plays since he's a rock?
Listen, he should know how to do a pop-up.
Good point, though.
Malik, he should know how to do a pop-up. Is he not the headiest player? Sure. He should know how to handle a pop-up. Scott Kingery,
you're right,
should hit better than 100.
You're
should.
Right. And they brought him up. I still say if it's Klintak knowing and evaluating talent like he should be doing, because that's part of his job, we should have some arms that we have in the bullpen now that can get three outs when you have a lead in the ninth. And
well,
we're not talking about bonehead plays.
Yeah. No, look, I agree. I mean, look, Hector Neris is their best guy in the bullpen. At least we think he is. It's the first time this year he's run into trouble like that. It's going to happen from time to time. It stinks. 12 games into the season, 60-game year. That's not good.
And
I don't
and
like the bullpen either. The bullpen is an abomination.
And there lie who, but okay, who is the engineer of the bullpen?
You're not wrong about that. I agree.
And my thing is, at what point do you realize, okay, you gave Gabe Kapler garbage and wanted Gourmet Mills. You're giving, Girardi garbage and wanting Gourmet Mills. Eventually, you got to look at who's doing the shopping before you say anything. Because if you keep giving me garbage, don't ask me for a Gourmet Mills.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And I understand, listen. There's no reason why you got somebody who's batting 100. That's it's other than the fact that you need to get in that cage and hit as many balls as you possibly can, retrain your eye, do some homework, and get yourself right, because a coach can coach you until you all they want. If you're not listening or you're not getting the message, you gotta put that legwork in. Nobody gets better by coaching. You gotta put what they're saying into practice. And if you're not putting it into practice, it really don't matter what I say.
Well, listen, Malik, what your call resonates with me right there. All right, Malik, give me a prominent lesser sibling.
I would go with Mr. Wimbledon himself, Patrick McEnroe to John McEnroe, all-time great.
Not a bad answer. Patrick McEnroe, who was a pretty darn good tennis player. And, boy, I remember a McEnroe-Jimmy Connors match, U.S. Open. James, Tom? McEnroe-Connors, 90?
A little before my time.
I mean, I remember McEnroe-Connors.
It's Patrick McEnroe. It's when Connors went on his run when he was old.
Oh, yeah, sure.
At the U.S. Open.
I remember that.
I believe it was 90 or 91. And one of those five-set matches he won early that year, I think it was the second round, I believe, was against Patrick McEnroe. 215-592-9494. All right, what Doug Peterson had to say. We'll find out from Elliot Shore Parks at 1:30. He'll give us the scoop on that. With the Zoom call just wrapping up. So Doug's comments relayed to us by way of Elliot at 1:30. Phone calls throughout the show. Joe to Cameron, Tom Kelly in for John today on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.